Hello, and welcome to another episode of Art Beat, a show by the National Gallery, where we discuss the latest developments in Cayman's art scene, featuring in-depth interviews with local creatives and community partners.
I'm Maya Mutu, Education Manager.
I'm Jessica Ebanks, Community Engagement Coordinator. And today we're here with Collections Curator William Helfricht to talk about two new exhibitions that we have on at the National Gallery. First up is Pop and the Popular, a new temporary exhibition exploring Caymanian expressions of pop art, and The Ties That Bind, a national collection show that examines Cayman's cultural evolution through art.
So let's start with Pop and the Popular. When we say pop art, some key artists and artworks might come to mind, like Andy Warhol's iconic silkscreen portraits of Marilyn Monroe, or Lichtenstein's comic strip-inspired compositions with the very splashy sort of pows and whams, or even Kusama's large-scale installation work, or Brito's 2D sort of ultra-colorful geometric shapes and pieces. But Will, can you build more historical and conceptual context around pop art for us? How and where did the movement begin, and what was it all about?
All right, yeah. Well, that's an important question, and I think the title of this exhibition kind of gives a clue to the logic behind this exhibition, what it's actually about. So you're right, as you point out, the origin point for this show is the historical pop art movement. Now, that was a movement that emerged in the early 1960s, so middle of the 20th century, and it was a movement that kind of came about simultaneously in Europe, the UK, and most famously in the United States. And pop art, what it was really all about, is kind of a response to, as most art is, the art movements that came before it. Pop art really challenged a lot of the preconceptions about what art should be, what art should look like, what the subjects, the suitable subjects for fine art should be or could be. And it's also a movement that really dramatically put forward some new ideas about the future direction of art. And a lot of that was influenced by, I guess, the increasing prominence of things like corporate advertising, mass consumerism, all of these changes that were taking place in society after World War II, especially in the United States. You know, suddenly people were bombarded with radio and television and billboard advertisements and this influence, real creeping influence of consumer culture. And so artists like Andy Warhol, and interestingly, he had a career that begun as a graphic designer and commercial illustrator. So he was an artist whose training, he had trained previously, but he worked designing window dressings for large department stores. So he was really immersed in that kind of commercial sensibility. And then in the early 1960s, just taking Warhol as an example, he created some really iconic pieces. One famous work of Campbell's soup cans that he made in 1962. I'd kind of use that work as, I guess, the perfect example of what pop art is. It's an artwork that takes a commodity object, a can of soup, in this case, the Campbell's soup brand, which was really, really, it still is, you know, probably one of the most prevalent brands that you'll see on a supermarket shelf. And he actually created this work of three different panels, three different canvases, painting the humble can of Campbell's soup as his subject. So that was a work that I guess you can point to as an origin of pop art, or something that really encapsulates what pop art is all about.
Yeah, and I think in addition to exploring everyday objects, there's also a lot of pop artists who tackle really heavier societal issues, such as things like the pitfalls of consumer culture or the sort of modern-day dystopia of kind of repetitive daily activity, right? But they almost always do that in a very sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of parodic style that makes it almost more accessible to view the artwork and makes it a little bit more palatable for some viewers. Why do you think that pop art, and I think you alluded to this really, why do you think that pop art has taken that much lighter sort of comic approach?
Well, I did allude to this idea throughout the history of art of one movement in art history following another. And when we say following, it's usually what you might call an antagonistic relationship. They are challenging the artist that came before them, or responding to their work and taking it in a different direction. So to really understand pop art, you have to go back a little bit further to a movement called abstract expressionism. So people will be familiar with artists such as Jackson Pollock, who is famous for his drip paintings, people like Mark Rothko, another American abstract artist who created these beautiful but very kind of serious academic, you might say, paintings, these beautiful color field paintings. And at that moment in the 1940s and 50s, you know, art was very sophisticated and highbrow and intellectual and not very accessible to the everyday public. It was actually quite intimidating. And so pop art really democratized fine art, made it accessible with its subject matter, with its, you know, very colorful palettes, and with some of the playful and humorous strategies that artists like Andy Warhol and Roy Lichtenstein, Klaus Oldenburg, another famous pop artist, a sculptor primarily, who created some amazing sort of oversized sculptures of things like ice cream cones and hamburger buns and, you know, very witty, humorous, as you say, kind of parodies on just the ubiquity of consumer culture, the fact that we're surrounded being told by advertisers to buy this car or, you know, buy this brand of toothbrush or what have you. And so that element of humor, very important. But also to your point about the more serious, or you might say the more subversive strategy of pop, was to start to sort of point holes and sort of undermine some of that kind of sort of mindless thinking about turning the tables on the advertisers and kind of pushing back and questioning this whole culture of consumerism. So, for example, as we talked about with the Campbell soup cans, these aren't just straight derivative copies, right? So one of the criticisms that might be leveled at pop art is, oh, well, it's so samey, it's so repetitive, it's so derivative, meaning that they're just literally taking an image of an everyday object and reproducing it. But of course, that's not what they're doing. They will always, in most cases, especially in artists like Andy Warhol, they're playing with the image. They might be inverting the image. They might be printing it in multiples. And we can talk a little bit about that, because when we start getting into this exhibition and talking about what our contemporary Caymanian artists are doing in responding to this historical movement of pop art, they're actually using a lot of the same strategies. So the idea of image repetition, the idea of playing with a sense of scale, you know, with an everyday object and maybe supersizing it to dramatic effect. They're using different materials as well. And of course, nowadays, using different technologies, new media, new technologies. So kind of taking the kernel, or kind of really the heart of what pop art was, and updating it for the 21st century. So using mediums and technologies that weren't at, say, an artist like Warhol's disposal, because they didn't have those techniques in the 1960s. And so I think that's what's particularly interesting about this exhibition, is it's really about pop art and its legacy and how pop art has been interpreted by Caymanian artists who are practicing today.
Yeah. I think even if these artworks were just repetitions of each other, I think there would still be an interesting, there's still an interesting thought and intentionality behind just repeating the same image multiple times, because it just kind of goes back to that idea of the repetition of everyday process or everyday life, or these repeated images that you see in consumer culture all of the time, right? Sometimes they are exactly the same. But then, of course, there is that intentionality behind repeating an image, but maybe tweaking something very, very small in it. So you have bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, and this idea of repetition, I want to give an example, but talking about Warhol, we talked about technology and how it's changed. Well, in Warhol's day, one of the things that he was experimenting with when he first started out with this idea of transforming his work from what it had previously been, kind of this invention, if you will, of the pop art style or the pop art sensibility, is using a technique called silkscreen printing. So this is a mechanical printing technique that allows you to print multiple images, right, using a silkscreen mesh and canvas and applying acrylic paint and also silkscreen ink, printing images. And a lot of the images that Warhol was using were taken from things like newspapers or photographs that might have been reproduced in a women's magazine, and taking these images, which were kind of saturating the environment, right, the everyday environment. So people would have seen these images. Take Marilyn Monroe, who you mentioned, you know, Hollywood studio promotional shots. You know, she was in magazines. Her face was on billboards and advertisements. And so Warhol was kind of riffing on that. And he took some of these widely reproduced images of people like Elizabeth Taylor. So these are kind of film stars of a bygone era, right? And even in Warhol's day, they were kind of individuals whose heyday had kind of happened. And obviously Marilyn Monroe, sadly, had some issues in her personal life, and she passed away at a young age. So by the time Warhol was creating her image, it had these layers of meaning to it. And then the act of repetition, you know, he was really commenting on what we were just talking about, this idea of the saturation of images, how overloaded we are, right, with this whole landscape of consumer culture and these icons and celebrities. And thinking about art today and the parallels we can draw, of course, we're in a whole new conversation now about social media, about the influence of social media. So there are actually a lot of parallels, which I think is what's so interesting, between our own contemporary era and the kind of culture that was at play in someone like Warhol's day.
Yeah, and of course the continuing conversation around what is the value of art and what type of art is valued. You know, is it something that's very sort of austere and highbrow, or is it these more kind of popularist images, right?
We are here with collections curator William Helfrecht talking about pop art and its history and the new National Gallery exhibition, Pop and the Popular, which just opened yesterday on the 21st of October. So we're going to take a quick break, and then after the break, we will be back talking about Pop and the Popular.
School and community youth groups receive free guided tours of the National Gallery. Our education team works with you to design curricular tours that supplement your classroom syllabus. Contact us at program@nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to book your tour today.
The National Gallery of the Cayman Islands is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and admission is always free. We are located on the Esterly-Tibbetts Highway just before the Kamana Bay Roundabout, and can also be accessed via Harkvale Drive off Lawrence Boulevard. Visit our website at nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to learn more. Looking for a unique gift? The National Gallery's gift shop has a wide variety of locally made jewelry and fine crafts, art prints, books, kids items, and more. Express your creativity through our inspired selection of fine goods and one-of-a-kind pieces. Each purchase from the gift shop helps to support the National Gallery's public programs and free admission. The gift shop is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join our membership program and be in the know. By signing up as a National Gallery member, you'll help fund free education and outreach programs, exhibitions, and free admission, ensuring that everyone in our community has access to the arts. Make a difference in your community by becoming a member and enjoy our members-only benefits, including special events, discounts, and more. Sign up online at nationalgallery.org.ky/memberships. Welcome back to Artbeat. We are talking to collections curator William Helfrecht about the latest exhibitions on view at the National Gallery. If you're just tuning in, Pop and the Popular is the latest exhibition, which just opened yesterday, October 21st, at the National Gallery and runs until February 10th. So we've set the scene by discussing the pop art movement more generally. So now, Will, let's talk in more detail about what visitors can expect from the Pop and the Popular exhibition here at the gallery.
Okay, yeah, so Pop and the Popular, it's a group exhibition. So this is an exhibition that came about really from ideas and discussions we'd had at the National Gallery about our exhibition program, We wanted to do this exhibition, and we had a few artists in mind, as you can imagine, because this exhibition was really a response, kind of thinking about what's happening today in contemporary Caymanian art. Most of our more contemporary exhibitions that we do, and obviously we have quite a balanced program of exhibitions, from more historical exhibitions of more traditional maritime art, landscape painting, and so forth. But this exhibition was really about the here and now, what's happening in Cayman and the local art scene, and some of that, I think, was drawn from things that have been happening in recent years, like the biennial. So we're coming up now on our third iteration of the Cayman Islands Biennial. So these are big survey shows of contemporary art. We started that in 2019. And so with each of those exhibitions, we are kind of seeing how artists respond to the open call. So these are open calls for basically an invitation for artists to submit work to an exhibition. And through that process, a lot of our regular artists that we work with, kind of stalwarts, artists who have work in the collection, have continued to generate really strong work. But we've also been introduced to a lot of up-and-coming artists, emerging artists, that perhaps we weren't familiar with or familiar with their work. And so those exhibitions have really laid the foundations for a show like this one. And also Cayman Art Week, which had its second year earlier this year in the summer. But Cayman Art Week, a sort of art fair or festival, multiple venues, lots and lots of artists represented. Again, I think that really helped show the pool of artistic talent that we have here in Cayman. And so with this exhibition, we were very keen to see what's out there. So there are artists who are kind of a shoe-in, kind of tailor-made for this show, you might say. But then through this open call, which we sent out in July, we had a great response, and we were able to select several artists who've never exhibited at the National Gallery before, some younger artists, artists who perhaps haven't had the opportunity to show their work because maybe it didn't fit with the theme of previous exhibitions, but for this exhibition was kind of perfect. So it was a really welcome opportunity to kind of bring some of that new Caymanian talent into the fold and showcase their work in an exhibition at the National Gallery, which I think a lot of those artists are really excited about.
Yeah, I think open calls are a great thing to mention because we frequently get questions from the general community about exhibiting their work. And open calls are a great way for us to learn about who in the community is creating and just to get more familiar with them to potentially exhibit their work in shows like this. So open calls are a great way if you're listening and you're really interested in exhibiting your work. Definitely keep an eye out on our social media and on our website for our open calls.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit more about some of the artists who are exhibiting in this show and how many artists are involved? Because I know it's quite a big number. We had a lot of response to that open call. Can you just tell us what visitors can expect, who and what?
Right. Well, so we have, I think it's 24 featured artists. They range from figures like Ray Banker, who people are probably familiar with, kind of a bit of a radio personality, very funny guy, but also a really talented artist with a training in kind of graphic design and illustration. So his work, there are a couple of his pieces that we have in the National Collection that are included in the show. So those people probably will have seen. He has a really, really great piece. It's a reclaimed signage from a famous American fast food outlet, which I won't name, but a found object sculpture, turtle meat. That's actually the title we call that work. It has another title, but that's a really, really iconic work of contemporary Caymanian art. It was actually included in the very prestigious publication, the A to Z of Caribbean Art. So Ray Banker, one of four, I think, Caymanian artists who were included in that publication. Really important work, academic publication about Caribbean art, and we have four Caymanian artists represented in there. So Ray Banker, he also has another series of work called his Ode to Milo series. So Milo being the chocolate-flavored drink, right? Chocolate milk. Thinking about going right back to the beginning when we were talking about Andy Warhol and Campbell's Soup, I think what makes Ray's work so important is the way he's able to assimilate this kind of pop art sensibility and then translate it into a Caribbean cultural context. And with those works, which, as I say, are very familiar to many people, we've actually gone out and chosen variations of that work. So pieces from this series, because it's a series of about 10 paintings. We have one in the collection. And that painting's had a lot of airtime, as you can imagine, because it's a great work. But we've actually gone out and borrowed some other works from that same series on loan. And I would imagine many people have not seen those. And seeing them together again, going back to this idea of repetition, multiple images, they're really meant to be seen as a group, as a series. That's where they kind of play off one another, and the real meaning of the piece becomes a lot clearer. So Ray Banker, very prominent Caymanian artist, is featured in the show. We also have artists like Dreddy, that's Shane Akart. Dreddy, a lot of people will be familiar with his work, displayed at the airport. So we have a project there as part of the Art at the Airport program of Dreddy's work, this Cayman Panorama. So one of the things that Dreddy does with his work, which makes him so perfect for this show, is he's really interested in this idea of popular imagery. These are familiar, might be architectural landmarks, so famous buildings of yesteryear and today, kind of some of the iconic architecture that we have around Cayman, historic buildings and newer, as I say, more contemporary landmarks, but also commercial imagery. So images of bicycles and mopeds and automobiles and all the kind of stuff of contemporary life. He likes to very humorously include that in his works, which are mostly digitally printed. So we were talking about new media. Well, Dreddy's an artist who works digitally, right? He's not drawing these with a pen or a pencil like you might have done traditionally, hand drawing. He's creating these works digitally. So it's a kind of interesting take on this idea of what contemporary Caymanian pop art is. We also have people like Carlos Garcia. People will know Carlos's work, really from his murals, his sort of street art aesthetic. He's an artist who's really invested in this idea of kind of street art, so graffiti, big, bold, colorful murals, and he's decorated a number of sort of public projects around Cayman, on the underpass, along the West Bay Road. You might have seen his work, and then on just commercial storefronts, you know. He's done a lot of commercial painting, and I think this is a nice way of showing with an artist like Carlos that this other side of his practice as a kind of a fine art practice, not less kind of commercially oriented. Couple of other names, we've got people like Mark Lawrenson and Pamela Kelly Lawrenson. So they together they have a company called Stoked. Again, kind of straddling this line between commercial work and kind of fine art. So they're kind of renowned as artists who work with recycled materials, using reclaimed materials. So we're talking about this idea of everyday art and the everyday. Well, these are artists that literally incorporate collaged elements. So it might be little cut-up snippets from magazines or kind of branded signage that they actually paste into the surface of their work. So you're talking about the blurring of art and life. I think that's the perfect illustration of that, their work. Other artists, we've got people might be familiar with Three Girls in a Kiln. So Three Girls in a Kiln are a kind of artistic collaborative. They've moved now. They have a storefront on Seafarer's Way, so Old Harbor Drive, right in the center of Georgetown. And they really work, they're ceramicists. So they are, I guess, another perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about, this blending of fine craft, commercial work, so artists who are producing work commercially to sell, decorative design and the kind of intersection of design, that's another big theme in this exhibition. We have artists like Yonye Powery, another ceramicist, but in this case a work of his, really impressive sort of piece of giant-sized sculpture. And talking about that idea of why I think children in particular are going to be drawn to this exhibition is there's so much playfulness. You know, there's so much humor with an exhibition like this. It's something that really appeals to all ages, but I think children are really going to get a kick out of some of these works because they are just spectacular. Some of them a bit over the top, you know, and I think that's the whole point of this genre, you might say, is artists kind of taking risks, doing something that might be a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but creating these statement pieces that are really visually impactful, but also, as we've been talking about at the beginning, there are these layers of meaning to a lot of these works. So I think it's something that many different people will be able to engage with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something I was thinking about when you were talking about Ray Banker's Ode to Milo series. And we've had one piece from that series, like you said, on display for several years as part of our national collection. And I was just reminiscing, thinking about children love that piece. So when we go on school tours, because so many of them drink Milo for breakfast or as an after-school snack, so it's right away something that they can connect with and is a part of their lived experience. And one thing that we've done on several school tours is we actually have a can of Milo that we pull out, and then we open it and get them to smell it and pass it around just as a nice multi-sensory fun experience for them. So, yeah, I think this show has a lot to offer in terms of people just being able to connect really easily with the subject matter and, you know, seeing these, like we said, iconic images of public figures that they might recognize or objects that they would connect with. So I think I'm looking forward to the next few months and seeing how people respond to it and connect with it.
Yeah, Jess, you talked about the tactile element of sort of passing around these cans of Milo to kids, and pop art can really be such a feast for the senses. Like, it's such a sensual kind of art form. And I think it's going to be really fun to build out the tour program with this and bring in different tactile objects that students can pass around while they're touring, and even adults as well, to really create a connection between this sort of physical sense of touch and then everything that they're seeing on the walls, and create this very sort of mental and physical connection. We're going to be developing a lot of really great programming for this show, which is really exciting. So if you're listening, stay tuned to our website to find all the details on programming that's coming up. We're looking at doing some artist-led workshops for this, which would be a really exciting way to kind of get your creative juices flowing and also meet and talk to some of the artists in the show as well and have them lead you in a workshop. We're looking at lots of exciting things that I won't tease too much. But one of the exciting bits of any exhibition program, I think, is the school tour program and thinking about the conceptual bits of the show and how we teach that, how we teach curricular subjects through the artwork, and then also creating all of these sort of fun approaches within the tour style as well. So, of course, this exhibition could not be possible without the amazing sponsors that we have on board. Will, who do we have sponsoring this exhibition?
So this exhibition is sponsored by Davenport Development, and we're very grateful to Davenport. They've been amazing. They've actually sponsored several exhibitions now. But this one, I think, is really a very fitting exhibition. Davenport actually are also kindly loaning us some of their works from their private collection. And so not only are they supporting this exhibition and what we do with our programming and free school tours and so forth, but actually loaning us some work from their private collection. So we have several collectors actually who are going to be pleased, I think, and excited to see their work on the National Gallery walls, but also will have some gaps maybe in their living room or in their dining room where they've loaned us pieces. So we've had several collectors, private collectors, lending us work, Cayman Islands National Museum, and others. So we're very grateful both to the collectors who've helped us make this exhibition, and also Davenport for their sponsorship.
Wonderful. And give us the dates for the show one more time and the opening times.
Right. So the exhibition, as we said, opening from 21st of October this year, and running through to the 10th of February, 2023. So next year, it's going to be up for a while. A lot of digital work as well. So that's something I think people are going to be really excited to see. And not just, you know, thinking about what is art, you know, and it's with a subject as big as pop art, and what it is and how it's influenced and how contemporary Caymanian artists have taken the idea of pop art and really made it their own, put their own stamp on it. We really wanted to center that narrative. You know, artists like Gordon Solomon and people like Jason Kennedy as well, who people will know, who does these sort of really photorealist style portraits of just ordinary people, right? People going about their business, but a great piece of his in the work, in the exhibition too. So we're really kind of trying to present this as maybe a question to audiences, you know, come into this show and maybe reserve judgment about, you know, what you're expecting to see and just go and be surprised, you know, be delighted, be I think, challenged as well. So it's gonna be something that people can engage with, and it's gonna make people kind of pause and reflect and think as well. So I think that's what art is so great for, you know, having that power to inspire, but also to provoke, you know, we want people to not just walk in passively, but to really engage with these works, you know, and kind of, you know, just think big and sort of maybe we'll inspire some younger artists. You know, we have our education programs and Walker's Art Club, but I think it's an opportunity for kids and even hobbyists, people, you know, who maybe are artists who paint on a Sunday or it's a hobby. Maybe this will help inspire, you know, some of those artists that we have in the community to say, hey, I can exhibit at the National Gallery, or maybe it's a target or a goal that I can work towards.
It's a perfect show for that. I mean, just thinking about some of the recent online photography shows that we've had, a lot of people who are hobbyists or who do this sort of, you know, in their spare time submitted to those shows and had work featured in those online exhibitions. Our Art Under Lockdown exhibition, and then Beloved Isles as well. And that's, of course, digital work, too. Most of them were creating photography work, whether that's DSLR cameras or whether they are creating sort of digital images. And then you talked about younger students as well. And Jess and I have actually spoken to quite a few students around the high school sort of college age who are really interested in doing graphic design and illustration as a career eventually. So it's really cool to see a younger generation of artists who are really embracing digital. And that's such a great tie-in for this show when we think about the contemporary landscape of art in Cayman and how that ties into the pop art legacy, as it were. Okay, I think that's a great time to take a quick break for ads. And when we come back, we'll be talking about our new national collection show, The Ties That Bind.
School and community youth groups receive free guided tours of the National Gallery. Our education team works with you to design curricular tours that supplement your classroom syllabus. Contact us at program@nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to book your tour today.
The National Gallery of the Cayman Islands is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and admission is always free. We are located on the Esterly-Tibbetts Highway just before the Kamana Bay Roundabout and can also be accessed via Harkvale Drive off Lawrence Boulevard. Visit our website at nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to learn more. Looking for a unique gift? The National Gallery's gift shop has a wide variety of locally made jewelry and fine crafts, art prints, books, kids' items, and more. Express your creativity through our inspired selection of fine goods and one-of-a-kind pieces. Each purchase from the gift shop helps to support the National Gallery's public programs and free admission. The gift shop is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join our membership program and be in the know. By signing up as a National Gallery member, you'll help fund free education and outreach programs, exhibitions, and free admission, ensuring that everyone in our community has access to the arts. Make a difference in your community by becoming a member and enjoy our members-only benefits, including special events, discounts, and more. Sign up online at nationalgallery.org.ky/memberships.
Welcome back to Art Beat. We're here with collections curator William Helfrecht. If you're just tuning in, we've been discussing our latest exhibitions at the National Gallery, and we just had a great conversation about Pop and the Popular, which is a new pop art-inspired show that's opened just yesterday on the 21st of October and is open through until the 10th of February 2023. So now we're going to turn to our upper exhibition hall where we house the National Collection show. And we've just done a big rehang of that space into a new exhibition called The Ties That Bind. So, Will, can you tell us about The Ties That Bind, please? What's the concept?
Yeah, so this is, I suppose it's a follow-up exhibition to the show that preceded it, and that was called Saltwater in Their Veins. So at the National Gallery, one of the things we've been thinking about as a team and as an exhibitions team is how can we shake it up a little bit in terms of presenting our collection? As it happens, the National Collection, which is it's really an entity that's held jointly by the National Gallery, the National Museum, and the Cayman National Cultural Foundation. This is the cultural legacy of the Cayman Islands. So it's something that's really important to preserve and safeguard, but also to make accessible so people can see it. You know, the National Gallery is very fortunate to have our permanent home on the Esterly Tibbetts Highway, where we have space. You know, we've got a 9,000 square foot facility. But up until 2012, we didn't have a purpose-built art gallery like we do today. We occupied a series of temporary spaces, and we didn't really have the luxury of showing our collection because we just didn't have the space. So being that we have the upper exhibition hall, we have a permanent home for our collection, and the collection has grown. You know, the collection has now grown even in the last 10 years by about 240%. So we've got a lot more work in the collection, and we really want to find opportunities to showcase that work. So with that in mind, this exhibition, The Ties That Bind, it takes a similar approach to the one we utilize for Saltwater in Their Veins, and that is thinking about an alternative way to present the collection. So what I mean by that is not just a traditional chronological approach. So, you know, beginning with the earliest works in our collection, moving through to artists that are associated with the Visual Arts Society. So that's kind of that 1980s era of traditional landscape painting, through to the Native Sons, some of our most best-known Caymanian artists who emerged primarily in the 1990s, and then into the present and contemporary work. So what we've done with both these exhibitions, Saltwater in Their Veins, which has now come down, and with the brand-new exhibition that's featured upstairs now, The Ties That Bind, is take a bit of a non-chronological approach, taking a thematic approach. So what I mean by that is thinking about a particular theme or subject, and trying to build an exhibition using the works in our collection to tell a story, because that's what art really is. It's storytelling through visual art and artifacts. So we're telling not just an artistic story; it's really a cultural and social history of the Cayman Islands, of Caymanian culture through visual art. So it's a journey, taking viewers on a journey, using the works that we have in our collection to tell that story. And in this case, what is that story? So The Ties That Bind is really about the evolution of Caymanian culture, Caymanian family life, and seen through the lens of our artists across the entire span of the collection. So we begin with some of the earliest works in our collection by artists like Miss Lassie, and Charles Long, but also interjecting some of that more contemporary conversation, because when you take a big theme such as this one, it's a theme that many, many artists have engaged with throughout the span of our visual arts history in Cayman. And so what I think that really brings to life is these connections between earlier artists and more recent contemporary work, so that you can see them not as separate but as in dialogue around this kind of universal theme, this theme that runs throughout all the works in the show. So it, as I said, it's a real opportunity to you know, educate visitors and share some of that history, either with tourists and visitors or with our long-term residents and people for whom, you know, this isn't just, something that's dry or academic, right? This is maybe things that they remember from their own childhood, you know, talking about how Cayman has changed, you know, in some cases for better and in others, you know, change that has been, not to everyone's liking, you know, the fact that, things have changed, you know, a lot of people really kind of miss the old ways, and kind of things that we had previously perhaps that we don't enjoy to such an extent now. But it's also an uplifting story. It's really an exhibition that's talking about things like, family, faith, community, you know, maybe asking this question, you know, what does Caymanian culture mean? What is Caymanian culture and how do we define it? And I think without having to answer that question, I think the answer lies in the work itself, right? So it's talking about how important those things are as kind of these foundational elements that make Cayman what it is, you know, what make Cayman unique, you know, these pillars of our society and of our community. And so I think that's something that comes across really strongly in this exhibition.
Yes, and if you've been to our national collection within the past couple of months, you will see something new the next time you come. Of course, as Will said, it's a rehang, so we've included artworks that maybe haven't been exhibited for a while or fit into this theme of the ties that bind, where they might not have fit as neatly into salt water in their veins. But I think the magic of rehangs is that even if there is a piece that remains on the wall between two of those exhibitions, because it's creating that conversation and dialogue between artworks, and this is part of the role of curators, right, to build these stories, you can find something new in those pieces all the time. So even if you come back to the gallery and you see a piece that you might have seen 3 months ago when you visited before, you get new stories out of it because they're now in conversation with different artworks. So Will, can you tell us about some of the new pieces that people will see when they come to this show that they might not have seen 3 to 6 months ago?
Yes. Okay. So one of the things, as I said, as the collection has grown, we simply have more work at our disposal to kind of craft exhibitions like this where we have not just works that are presented singly, but thinking about these groupings, these connections between artworks that maybe explore a similar theme or a subject matter. And in this case, we also have several new acquisitions. So these are artworks that have come into the collection recently, either by donation, where artists or collectors have generously donated these works to be included in the National Collection, or works that we've purchased with support from some of our supporters. So right away, we've got some artworks on the wall. As I said at the outset, this idea of the National Collection, I mean that expansively in terms of the entire National Collection. So some of the works are actually on loan from our sister cultural organizations, the Cayman Islands National Museum and the Cayman National Cultural Foundation. CNCF, for example, recently received a very generous donation of paintings by Miss Lassie. And CNCF, as the sort of custodians of Miss Lassie's estate and her collection, we've included those two works. So right away when you walk in, people will see some Miss Lassie paintings that they won't have ever seen because they've been repatriated from the United States and have returned home, as it were. So we've got some Miss Lassie work, brand new acquisitions. We actually have some of Miss Lassie's she was an artist, as many people will know, who really started out not painting on canvas per se, but, you know, painting everything, painting the walls, the doors, the shutters of her home in South Sound. And so we've included some of the craft objects that Miss Lassie created. Again, have not been shown publicly. Watercolors by some of our very popular artists like Joanne Sibley. We've got some wonderful works featuring architectural landmarks, old houses, you know, and this is a subject that's dear to a lot of people's hearts, especially at the moment. I think with all the change and development that's happened, you know, we really wanted to center that conversation about the importance of preserving our architectural heritage. So there's an image by Joanne Sibley, for example, beautiful watercolor of Dr. Roy's house, right? A landmark for so many years on the Georgetown waterfront, sadly demolished in the early 1990s, but a lot of people will, I think, really enjoy seeing some of these works that they won't have seen before. We have other new acquisitions and a lot of work that was perhaps displayed or commissioned for one of our temporary exhibitions. A lot of works in recent years have come into the collection because they were commissioned or they were produced specifically for an exhibition at the National Collection, be it one of our biennials or a temporary exhibition. So we've got work by John Reno Jackson, a young, talented Caymanian artist who's actually now away studying for his bachelor's degree at the University College London in the UK, Slade School of Fine Arts. So we've got a work of his that's brand new. That's a 2022 painting that was included in his solo show. There's a host of work, so I wouldn't catalog them all, but as you said, I think that this idea of seeing new work, but also seeing work in a new light, it's kind of like shuffling these pieces on a chessboard, but you get these amazing contrasts as well, not just you get these juxtapositions where we can actually, you know, we like to keep works in these sort of sympathetic pairings, but then also maybe challenging viewers and putting abstract work, you know, in proximity to more traditional representational pieces or putting installation and sculpture alongside video art or photography. So there's a real diversity of media, of subject matter, but again, it's all, no pun intended, but, you know, sort of tied together through this theme, this idea, the metaphor of rope, you know, being so central to Caymanian cultural identity. I think that's kind of where the idea for this show as a team kind of came from for us, was thinking about rope, you know, as a metaphor for this connecting thread that ties Caymanians together historically and into the present. So using that maybe as a metaphor for creating an exhibition, I think, was something that came out really well in allowing us to think about what tied these works together and how they can tell a story, how they can tell a story that's maybe familiar to many, but also unpacking some of these themes of kind of thinking about family life, thinking about the significance of the home, right? Not just as a house, you know, a piece of architecture, but the home as a kind of symbolic space, you know, for where children are raised and where life is played out, right? You know, both the good times and the bad. So there's it's a fascinating exhibition, and I think it's one that our audiences will really enjoy, you know, and it's something you can come back to. You can see once, and as you said, maybe you come back with on a Saturday, and you know, a rainy day is always great for going to the museum or going to the gallery. So come and see it, and then come again and see it again, and I think people will really get a lot of really, really sort of wonderful experiences, and bringing children as well, having that having a child sort of I think just this innate curiosity is something that I love to see, and maybe more jaded, you know, parents or adults will get some of that just bringing kids along as well.
Yeah, I think sort of playing with the way that you experience any exhibition, but particularly I think for National Collection shows, if there are works that you might have seen before, like you said, you can come back on a Saturday or a rainy day and spend some time, but we have lots of different ways for people to approach this artwork. So one of the things we have for our wellness program are mindfulness sheets, so you can come and grab those at reception, and you can grab a chair. We have some folding chairs, and you can just set it in front of an artwork and spend some additional time really looking at that piece, some really intentional time looking at that piece. A lot of us will go into a museum, and I'm guilty of this myself, and just kind of rush through because, you know, you want to see so many things, or maybe you don't have as much time during the day. But it's really good if you can set aside, you know, even 5 minutes, because 5 minutes seems like a short amount of time, but we often don't even give that much amount of time to looking at an artwork, right? It's usually 30 seconds or less. So yeah, if you can just grab a chair and grab a mindfulness sheet and just answer a few of the cues, or
you don't even have to use a mindfulness sheet. You could literally just sit there and look at it and get this amazing experience. Another thing we're doing is our new community engagement program, where we are taking prints and reproductions from the National Collection on the road into the districts. So you may have seen us pop up in a few spaces already. We've been partnering with Cayman Arts Festival to be at some of their concert venues, and with the Pirates Festival as well. Jess was recently at the Northside Heritage Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's been a nice opportunity to bring some prints from the National Collection into community spaces and, again, expand access to our National Collection, which is a resource for everyone in the Cayman Islands. So, again, just telling the story of the collection and of our story of art through these pieces and bringing them into different settings. So, you know, we were at Northside last weekend, which is a great, fantastic, breezy day up at Kaibab Public Beach, and we'll be in East End as well on November 4th. We'll be at the Cayman Arts Festival concert on October 27th at the Georgetown Public Library, and a couple more events coming up. So just a great way to bring some resources from the National Collection into these community spaces.
Yeah, and we're really excited to explore the Ties That Bind and the wider National Collection with our Art on the Road program as well, which is very kindly sponsored by Rawlinson and Hunter. And that's a program where we take National Collection reproductions and artworks to schools on island. Sometimes schools can't always get to our site, so it's really great for us to be able to go to their classrooms, and we do a presentation where we talk about the National Collection and local artists, and then we explore that through an art workshop as well. So if you're a teacher, definitely get in touch with us, education@nationalgallery.org.ky or 945-8111. And you can book an Art on the Road session for your classroom. And, of course, you can also use that email and that phone number to book school tours of the National Gallery itself as well, for both the Ties That Bind and for Pop in the Popular.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say as well, I think these two exhibitions will play really nicely off each other. And visitors, I think it would be a great place to start upstairs, perhaps, you know, going to the Ties That Bind first. You know, there's no right or wrong way to view these exhibitions, but I think it's interesting to contextualize the story of Caymanian art and where we've come from. You know, maybe you start out going upstairs and learning a little bit more about the history by walking through the Ties That Bind, and then coming downstairs to the pop art exhibition, Pop and the Popular, to see where we are now. So I think those two shows will play really nicely and have a lot of rich material between the two of them.
Wonderful. Okay, let's do the dates one more time for Pop and the Popular. So it opened yesterday on October 21st, and it's open through until the 10th of February 2023. Of course, the National Gallery is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and admission is always free, so you can drop by any time. Staff is here to chat with you if you're interested in learning more about pop art, the pop art movement in general, how it's been explored with Caymanian artists. And we really encourage you to engage with some of the amazing education programming that we're going to have for both of these shows. And you'll be able to find that on our website in the coming weeks. So stay tuned to our website and social media for more information on programming. We're looking forward to doing some really interesting professional development webinars. This is a great show to talk about things like marketing and branding for those of us who have creative businesses or just small businesses in general that want to explore that part of their business a little bit more. As I mentioned, we'll be doing some artist-led workshops, school tour programming, art on the road programming, and lots more in between. So stay tuned for all of that.
All right. Thank you, Will, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
I know you've worked, put a lot of time and effort into putting on this show, so thanks for making the time to come here today. And that is it for another episode of Art Beat. Thank you, William, for joining us on another episode of Art Beat, and for everyone for tuning in. You can catch us at the National Gallery from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Art Beat. If you'd like to learn more about our program, visit nationalgallery.org.ky for upcoming events, or give us a call at 945-8111. See you next week, and until then, visit us at the National Gallery on the Esterly Tippetts Highway, where admission is always free.
Join our membership program and be in the know. By signing up as a National Gallery member, you'll help fund free education and outreach programs, exhibitions, and free admission, ensuring that everyone in our community has access to the arts. Make a difference in your community by becoming a member and enjoy our members-only benefits, including special events, discounts, and more. Sign up online at nationalgallery.org.ky/memberships.
School and community youth groups receive free guided tours of the National Gallery. Our education team works with you to design curricular tours that supplement your classroom syllabus. Contact us at program@nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to book your tour today.
Looking for a unique gift? The National Gallery's gift shop has a wide variety of locally made jewelry and fine crafts, art prints, books, kids' items, and more. Express your creativity through our inspired selection of fine goods and one-of-a-kind pieces. Each purchase from the gift shop helps to support the National Gallery's public programs and free admission. The gift shop is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
As part of our art and wellness program, and in partnership with the Alex Panton Foundation's Youth Ambassadors Program, the National Gallery hosts free art drop-ins for teenagers aged 14 to 18. Join us on the final Saturday of each month from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Take part in collaborative art projects, socialize with peers, or enjoy mindful creative time in a safe space. For more information, contact us at program@nationalgallery.org.ky or call 345-945-8111.